chapter 5 of John's Gospel. In these early verses, our Lord came to the pool called Bethesda, and He healed a man. He healed a man who had been lame for 38 years. Everybody knew him. He'd been lying there by that pool, off and on for years, waiting for someone to help him into the water after the angel disturbed the water. But no one was there to help him. The Pharisees and the other religious leaders knew this man. They saw him often because he was always lying in this same place. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to that pool one day. There were many people there, many lame people. This was not the only lame man. They were blind, the Scripture said, and halt and maimed. But our Lord walked over to this one certain man and said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Well, he said, "I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. And while I'm coming, struggling, crawling, or however, trying to get down there, someone steps in before me." And the Lord Jesus said to this man, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." The man didn't know who Christ was. Christ knew him, but he didn't know Christ. And he did. He was healed immediately. The Scripture said immediately he was made perfectly whole. And he picked up his bed, rolled it up. It wasn't a cot, I'm sure, or a large bed. It was a bedding, like a child's or a young man's sleeping bag. And he rolled it up, put it on his shoulder, and started walking down the road with that bed, holding it with a strong arm, walking with a strong leg. And these Pharisees saw him, these religious fellows. And they said to him, they didn't say a word about the fact the man was healed, the miracle this man made perfectly whole. But the Pharisees said to him, "It's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day." Oh, how the depravity and dishonesty of religion is revealed here. They couldn't rejoice in the fact that he was made whole. They couldn't rejoice in the fact that he was healed. They couldn't rejoice in the fact that God had visited him with a miracle. The only thing that troubled them was he was violating their traditions, their religious traditions. Here was a man that everybody knew. 38 years is a long time. And he'd been by this pool, lame, withered, halt. And here he's made whole by the sovereign mercy of God, by the grace and hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's made perfectly whole. And they say, "It's not lawful for you to carry your bed on this Sabbath day." Instead of rejoicing and giving glory to God, these religious people were angry because this man violated their traditions. Their ceremonies and traditions were more important to them than the truth of God. And our Lord had something to say to them. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. You see, the Messiah came, but he didn't fit in to their religious traditions and practices and beliefs. So it says in verse 16, "Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." And so our Lord answers them, and I'm going to show you throughout this day what he had to say to that religious crowd. He addresses the religionists, their leaders, and all these religionists who followed these leaders and continue to follow them down to this day. You know, it's an interesting thing what Peter said to the people on that day of Pentecost when he was preaching. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Peter addressed the same kind of multitude, a religious multitude, at the religious feast called Pentecost. And he spoke to them concerning the salvation in Christ. The salvation that God had given in Christ. And he closed with these words in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Now listen. Let's read verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He's talking to this vast religious multitude. They were there to celebrate Pentecost, this feast. They were on a religious pilgrimage, a religious holiday, a religious convention. And he's calling on them to repent and to believe God, that their sins might be put away. Verse 39, for he says, "The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off," Gentiles, tribe, every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, listen, save yourselves. Deliver yourselves. Get out. Separate yourselves. From what? From this untoward generation. What's the word untoward or untoward mean? Perverse. Crooked. Warped. That's the Greek meaning of that word. Get out of this religious, warped, perverse, crooked generation. That's who he's talking. That's who was there. Jews from all over the world, from every known country. There are Pentecost, so many Sabbaths, seven Sabbaths in a day. 50 a day, Pentecost, after Passover, religious, up to the neck, law-abiding, moral, claiming God's their Father, following the Scriptures, teaching the Scriptures, offering the sacrifices. And Peter gets up before he finishes and said, "You better repent and believe on Christ. And you better get out. As quick as you can, separate yourself, deliver yourselves from this twisted, warped, perverted, crooked, untoward generation of religious people who don't know God." And that's the very people our Lord's talking to right here. Here a man had been healed. Christ, by his sovereignty, this man didn't know Christ. Didn't know who he was. Never asked him a thing. Never asked him to heal him. Never sought him. Didn't even know who he was. And our Lord passed by, and in his sovereign will, he quickeneth whom he will. He said, "Would you be made whole? Take up your bed and walk." He took it up and walked. And here was a notable miracle, a powerful only God could do. A man who was helpless is now strong. A man who was weak is now in full bloom, whole. They said, "You're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day." Blind as a bat, dumb as a box of rocks, and yet religious leaders. And that's what we're surrounded with. Same situation. And our Lord has something to say to them. And he sets forth his deity, his oneness with the Father, and his mission. Now I want you to listen to what he says in John 5. So he answered them. The Lord Jesus Christ answered them. And the first thing he said is this, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." What does that mean? He says the Father and the Son are one in redemption, in the work of redemption. My Father works. What is the Father's work? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. What does the Father work? He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, "Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do." What work did he give him to do? This is a faithful saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the work you gave him to do. The work you gave me to do, I have finished. And yes, when he stretched forth his arms on Calvary's cross, he said, "It's finished." What's finished? His life? No. He'll rise again. What's finished? The Old Testament scriptures? Types and pictures? Yes. What's finished? I'll tell you what's finished. Redemption. It's complete. It's finished. The work you gave me to do is finished. I and my Father are one in redemption. The Father chose, the Son redeemed, the Spirit called. Turn to John chapter 10. John the 10th chapter. And listen to our Lord here. And these men knew what he was saying. He's God. He's one with God. And he's one with God in redemption. My Father works and I work. We work together. In John chapter 10, verse 30, listen, "I and my Father are one." And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Well, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." He is. He is. "Show us the Father," they said. He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So this is what he says to that religious crowd. "I and my Father are one in redemption." We're one. All right, notice, and they knew what he was saying. Look at verse 18. "Therefore, they sought the more to kill him." He had not only broken their Sabbath day, he had not only violated their traditions and thumbed his nose at their ceremonies, but he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus Christ is God. God Almighty. That's who he is. He's God. God was in Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness without controversy. God was manifest in the flesh. Then he went on. Look at verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said to them." You know, they just said, "Well, you not only violated our Sabbath, but you claim to be God." And then he answered them and said this, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," listen, "the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Now the Lord Jesus, when he said
the Son can do nothing of Himself. You see that? The Son can do nothing of Himself. He doesn't limit or restrict His power. He does not limit or restrict His power. He can do what He will. But He is saying, as the Messiah, as the second Adam, as the Christ, who is the Son, cannot act independently of Him who is the Father. He cannot act independently of Him who sent Him, because they're one. And in Hebrews He said, Father, a body hast thou prepared me. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. So He said, I don't speak of myself, I speak of Him who sent me. The works that I do are not my works, the works of Him that sent me. The Son can do nothing independently and separately from the Father. We're one. See what He's saying? We're one. And that's why in John 6, verse 37, He says, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. It can't be otherwise. All that my Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out. I couldn't cast out him who the Father sent. See what He said? The Son can do nothing independently, separately from the Father. They're one. All that my Father giveth me, they'll come. And those that come, whom He gave me, I won't cast them out. For I came not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. All right, thirdly, He's still talking to them. Verse 20, He said, for the Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son. Write that down. The Father loveth the Son. Whom does the Father love? The Son. No doubt about that. It says in John 3, the Father loveth the Son and giveth all things into His hands. And here He says, the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things. I'm talking about all things, from eternity to eternity. All things in purpose, plan, will, creation, that has been, that is, that will be. All things are not known to us. Few things. All things the Father showed the Son. When? And He's going to show Him greatest works. The fulfillment of all the purposes and plans, because known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And He declareth things that are not as though they were. The Father dearly loves the Son. And number one, in an everlasting covenant, a covenant He made with Adam, Moses, Noah, Abraham, and David were made with men. This covenant He brought again from the dead. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This covenant He made with Christ and showed Him all things. Gave Him a people. Made Him their surety. Surety of the everlasting covenant. He made this covenant with Christ. It's a kingdom. He put into His hands the kingdom, the future, every believer. And God chose, this was before the world began, before creation. And God chose His sheep in Christ before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The sheep that He would redeem. were given to him before the foundation of the world. The covenant that he would fulfill was made and delivered into his hands before the foundation of the world. And God's love and mercies, the sure mercies of David, were conferred upon Christ, the heir, before the foundation of the world. And Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from that love which is in Christ Jesus. God hateth the workers of iniquity. He loves the Son. God's angry with the wicked every day, demonstrated by the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction of Jerusalem, and hell. But God loves the Son. Christ said, I'm telling you, the Father loves the Son and all who are in the Son and all whom He gave to the Son. Only Christ knows the will and purpose and covenant because it was made with Him. In the volume of the book it's written of me, lo, I come to do thy will, by the which will we are sanctified. And that covenant is fulfilled by Him. It's vested in Him. It's made with Him. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell, and it's fulfilled by Him, who, being the brightness of His glory, when He had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. And it's only through a union with Him that that inheritance is mine. He's the husband, we're the bride. He's the heir, we're joint heirs. Joint heirs. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the head, we're the body. Father loves the Son. Made the covenant with Him, showed Him all things, vested everything in Him, crucified Him, raised Him from the dead, seated Him on His right hand, till His enemies be made His footstool and His sons be made like Him. That's what He said to them. Now look at verse 21. For, listen, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. People talk today in religion. They talk a lot about the sovereignty of God. But most of them do not really believe God is sovereign. Did you know that? People say Jesus is Lord. I've seen these large campaigns, and they have a sign up over the speaker's platform. Thousands of people. Jesus is Lord. And then the preacher will say to the people out there, sign says Jesus is Lord. But he'll say to the people, won't you let Jesus be your Lord? I thought He is Lord. What it says up there. You ever hear him say, make Jesus the Lord of your life? Wait a minute now. Is He Lord or do I make Him Lord? I hear him say, why don't you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Wait a minute. That sign says He is. Is He or isn't He? No, they don't believe Him. He's saying here, the Father is Lord of life. He gives life. God said, I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. I create light and darkness, good and evil. I, the Lord, God, King, Sovereign, Almighty, do all these things. Does He or doesn't He? He says He does. He says, as the Father is Lord of life, the Son will give life to whom He will. He quickens whom He will. He gives life to whom He will. He saves whom he will. He's already Lord. Nobody makes him Lord. They recognize him. They bow to him. But see, everybody's going to bow to him. And everybody's going to recognize him. It just depends on when, here or at the judgment. But God said he highly exalted him and already given him a name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess he is Lord. In heaven, earth, and hell, he's Lord. He'll save whom he will. I heard a song one time on a religious station, and I'm convinced the EPA, Environmental Protection Association, ought to shut down all religious television and radio stations because they're polluting the air. The worst pollution in this world is coming from religious television stations. I can stand Armco smoke. I can breathe it and not mind a bit in the world as long as men are working, making a living. But I can't stand the odor and stench that comes from people who are blaspheming God. I heard a song on one of those programs. It made headlines in heaven when I got saved. They put out an extra. Extra! Read all about it. Mike Bartram got saved. No, no. If the Lord saved that old scalawag, they already knew it in heaven. His name was written there before the foundation of the world. Made headlines here. Why would God save a fellow like that? Now that is headlines. That deserves an extra, doesn't it, Mike? That deserves everybody to sit up and take notes. Why under heaven would God save you and me? That ought to be an extra. But heaven, nobody takes God by surprise. They do this peanut God that people are preaching today, but not the God of the Bible. The Father gives and takes life. The Father quickens the dead. And the Son will quicken whom he will. Turn to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Listen to Paul. Romans chapter 9. Verse 11. Romans 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to God's election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the mother, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. Now what shall we say then? What you got to say about that? Is the unrighteousness, is God unfair? God forbid. He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. Not of him that willeth, free will, it's not of him that run down the aisle, it's of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Even Pharaoh served the purpose of God in his rebellion. Moses in his obedience, Pharaoh in his rebellion. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he'll harden. I will say then, well, why does he yet find fault? Who can resist his will? Nay, but old man, who are you to reply against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why'd you make me this way? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The Son quickeneth whom he will. Salvation is by the will, all right, by the will of God. That's right. Salvation of sinners is by the will of God. And then our Lord went on. I'll close in a moment. Verse 21. The crown rise. Verse 22. His Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. That, listen, that all should honor the Son, worship the Son, even as they honor the Father. Even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Listen to me a moment. The pictures of Jesus, which the religious world keeps producing, putting in Bible, pictures of a man called Jesus. They keep producing these pictures, hanging them in their homes and hanging them in their churches and worshiping these pictures. And it reveals a total ignorance of who Christ is. Read that verse again, 23, that all men should honor, reverence, worship the Son as they worship the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. These pictures are portraying Christ as he was, as a babe. He's not a babe. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. As a carpenter, as a shepherd out on the hillside, as a weak man. He was weak. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, took upon himself the form of a servant. He's not a servant. He's the Lord. And when we see him, we're going to see him not as he was. They have pictures of him hanging on a cross. That's not honoring the Son. When we see him, we're going to see him not as he was, but as he is. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. After his resurrection, John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. Listen to what he said. Verse 12, Revelation 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. That's the seven churches. And in the midst of the seven churches, one like to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hair is as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. And his feet like fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. His voice is the voice of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. That's the ministers. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Huh? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. Watch your pictures. Idols. Images. Of things in heaven. Brought down. To the point of blasphemy. And he said to me, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. And Christ is talking to the religious crowd here, and he's telling them, you honor the Son like you would the Father. And you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father that sent him. That's a serious charge. And then he says, the Father and I are one, not only in worship, but in regeneration and resurrection. Listen to verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on them that sent me hath everlasting life.
and shall come in, not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and right now is, when the dead. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about dead sinners. He's not talking about people in the graveyard. He talks about them later. Right now he's talking about we're dead in trespasses and sin, as in Adam all die. And the now, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead sons of Adam, sinners, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear will live. How are dead sinners made alive?
By hearing the voice of the Son of God.
It's by His voice, by His power, by His word. How do you hear the voice of the Son of God?
Look at verse 24 again. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You don't have to hear him speak audibly.
When he speaks through his word, that's him speaking. That's how dead sinners. That's how they're saved. By hearing the voice of the Son of God. Hearing his word. And he that heareth shall live. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Name high above all, in hell, in earth, or sky. Angels and men before him fall, and devils fear and fly. Lord Jesus Christ, name to sinners so dear. The name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fears and turns their hell into heaven. Lord Jesus Christ. Prisoners' fetters break, crushes Satan's head. Power in the helpless souls it speaks, and life from the dead. I'm happy if with every breath I may but know that name, Lord Jesus Christ. If I may but know that name and preach that name and cry in death, behold the Lamb of God. May God give us an understanding of who He is, what He came to do, and where He is now, and enable us to be able to sing His matchless worth. Let's sing that night. Number 48. Oh, could I speak the matchless word of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, what a joy that would be to be able to.